And this morning, I'd like you to look with me at John chapter 4. We often hear the story of the woman at the well in this passage of Scripture, but there's something after that that I want to get to this morning. Since I'm speaking in the middle of Missions Month, we had to, Brother Tim Stevens was booked to be with us, and we had a conflict. His home church was having their missions conference and didn't get it, you know, as they booked from Cambodia, they were did not get everything done properly, and so I was gracious to let them go there instead of coming here today. So my message is not from Acts or a summary of Acts, which I hope to still yet do the final message on it, but John chapter 4 and verse 34 today, we'll look at missions. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for that saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray you'll guide me and direct me as I speak. We thank you for the visitors we have today, and we thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We ask your blessings on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to speak to you about participating in missions. It's my hope and prayer as a pastor that all of our church members will see the need of supporting missions. The church tithes the general budget. 10% of everything we receive in tithes and offerings goes into missions. If the church received $425,000 in a year, that sounds like a lot of money, but 10% of that would only be $42,500 in missions. And it would take every bit of that for one missionary to go to a foreign field and live off of that as support. The need for missions is great, and the cost for missionaries to go to foreign fields is very large. When folks give to missions over and above their giving to the church, then they help us to be able to do more for missions. Last year, you gave $106,000 total to missions. And for this size church, that is a very respectable amount of money. We know that much of it is sacrificially given by people who are giving, even if it makes a sacrifice on their behalf. And there's a great need for us all to participate in missions. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. There is no lack of sinners for us to reach with the gospel of Christ. They are all over the world. There's multitudes of them in need that need to be saved. We talk about Islam and ISIS and Muslims, and our great hope is that those people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. In countries that are closed to the gospel quite often, it's refugees who leave those countries that get the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel, and many of them are receiving Christ as Savior and being saved. Asia, all over Asia, has a population of 4 billion people. Africa has 1 billion. Europe has 750 million. North America, including the United States and Canada, is a half of a billion people. South America, 391 million. Oceania, which includes Australia, 36 million. China, 1 billion. India, 1 billion. Population of the world is over 7 billion people. And the vast majority of them need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The United States has about 330 million people that live here, and only about 50% of the people profess to be saved, to be born-again Christians, who live in the United States. There are some 30 million Hispanic people who have moved to the United States of America, some legally, some illegally, but the opportunity for the mission field coming to us is greater and greater all the time. I'm very thankful for Brother Cuesta and the Spanish church in Rock Hill that is running about 65 or 70 people now. And they have their own building, and we pray for them because they're reaching people that you and I can't reach because they speak a different language. And Brazil has about 201 million people. Russia only has about 140 million people. Japan has 126 million. The largest city in the world is Tokyo, Japan. They believe the area considered to be Tokyo has 36 million people. Delhi, India has 22 million. Seoul, Korea, 22 million. Jakarta, Indonesia, 22 million. Manila, Philippines has at least that many. Mumbai, about 22 million. Sao Paulo, Brazil, 22 to 25 million. Mexico City, 20 million plus. New York has 20 million people. And I guarantee you they need the gospel up there in New York. And those of you that are saved, move south so you can get away from up there. See, thank God, we're glad to have you. We need to all participate in missions, and we need to participate in making disciples for Jesus Christ. As we do that, first of all, we become a witness for Christ. We tell other people about the gospel message. It's good to pass out tracts. It's good to invite people to church. It's good to give away Bibles. It's good to have any form of sharing with people how they could be saved. But the primary way for people to be saved is for us to be a verbal witness to them of the gospel. And that's what it means to evangelize. To evangelize means to give the gospel to someone. And so it's important that we have the ability to share with somebody that Christ died on the cross for their sins. He was buried and rose again from the dead. He's alive and has the power to save them if they will believe on Him. Simply giving out the gospel as a witness. Secondly, we can grow the church ministry. We can participate in missions by growing our church ministry. The more ministries we have, whether it's a bus ministry or ministries to the children here at church, or whether it's an adult ministry or a teen ministry, we're ministering to people, and every person that gets saved is a nucleus for a new group of believers. They have friends, they have family, they have co-workers, and so when people get saved, they start telling other people about getting saved, and it influences other people to come to church, and they may get saved as well. So it's important that we're a witness, and it's important that we grow the church ministries. More people involved in being worshiped. No church will ever outgrow its percentage of workers in the church. It takes 15 to 30% of the people attending here today to be involved in teaching Sunday school and junior church and master club and super church and nursery and the adult Sunday school classes and all the things that we do here. It takes about 15 to 30% of the attendance involved in helping the church ministries grow. Thirdly, we can participate by sending missions, by giving to missionaries. When we give to God from our small hands, God opens His great hand and gives back to us. He promises in His Word that He will bless us if we give. He will also protect what we have so that we have more when we give to God than we would have if we kept it all. Like the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus can take what we give in our small amount of money, and He can bless it and use it and multiply it to meet the needs of many people. He also preserves what we have. In Malachi chapter 3, He talks about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, and He said He would rebuke the devourer for our sake. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of devourers out there that have gotten some of my money over the years. You know, material things rust, bust, and collect dust. And they cost a lot of money to have fixed. And so if God will preserve my income, if He will rebuke the devourer for my sake, if He'll allow my shoes to last longer and my suit coats to fit and last longer, and I can't say my hair to last longer, but the car doesn't break down and the kids aren't sick and, you know, all of those kind of things. In many ways, God blesses us over and over again. And quite often, we don't even think about it. And we should, because we need an attitude of gratitude to God when we pray. Amen. So we participate in missions by being a witness. And we participate in missions by growing the church ministries. And we participate in missions by giving so more missionaries can go to the foreign fields. We do that because the Lord has commanded it. We do that because people are lost. We were lost and somebody shared the gospel with us. And there are many people still lost and on their way to hell. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. And you and I need to recognize people are lost and going to hell. And we need to be a witness to them, and we need to send people that will go and give them the gospel and show them how they can be saved. There are multitudes around the world who've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here in the United States, in the Bible Belt, we've got churches on every corner. We've got people competing to reach the same people. We've got people that don't even want you to come to their doors anymore and knock on their door because they've had so many people come knock on their door. And invite them to church and tell them about Christ and things of that nature. We've got Christian radio that they can turn their dial around and hear the gospel from numerous stations in this area right here. And we got folks that are members of this church that work for BBN. They've given their life to help spread the gospel over the airwaves, and they do that faithfully. We've got many ways of spreading the gospel. We've got the printed page. We've got churches. We've got many Christians who are witnesses for Christ, but there are people around the world who are lost and they've never heard. They don't have the opportunities that you and I have. They don't have the freedom of the press. They don't have an open witness in their country. They don't have churches on every corner to go to. They're growing up with a different teaching than Christianity. Most all you sitting here grew up in a home where people worshiped God. They had prayer. They believed in Jesus Christ, that He died and rose again from the dead. They believed the Bible is the Word of God. Most of us had at least some kind of influence like that. Now, for many years in my home, the only way I heard God's name was when it was taken in vain. My dad was an alcoholic. But thanks be unto God, they were not people that didn't believe in God, and they didn't believe in the Bible, and they didn't believe in church. They did believe those things. They were just sinners who needed to be saved by the grace of God. And thank God they got saved. And thank God that I got saved. Somebody shared the gospel with me so I could be saved. We witness, we reach out to the lost, we send missionaries because Christ commanded it. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Because people need it, because they're lost and on their way to hell. We do it because we have the answer. What kind of people would we be if we kept it to ourselves? If we're saved, we don't want anybody else to be saved. No, when you get saved, you want everybody to be saved. As a matter of fact, sometimes when new Christians get saved, we have to kind of rein them in a little bit because they start telling all their friends and neighbors that they need to get saved and they're going to hell and things like that. Sometimes you can offend people if you don't do it in the right way. You see, we're caring about those that are lost. They need to be saved. You ever heard the missionary story about the missionary that had the man come to him who got saved and had a church started, and the man came and said, "How long have you known about Jesus Christ and His death, burial, resurrection, and salvation?" And the missionary said, "Well, I've known about it for many years." And the man in his country said, "Why didn't you come sooner? Why hasn't anybody brought this message to us before? If you had brought the message a few years ago, my daddy might have been saved and my mother might have been saved. But why didn't you come before?" They didn't come before because they weren't sent. What if we had the cure for AIDS? AIDS has spread across Africa in the uneducated areas by the thousands and thousands with AIDS. Missionary was here just last week, said it's a tremendous problem in South Africa where he is. Ebola just got real popular. The name comes from the Ebola River where that was first detected, that disease. And people are certainly scared to death of it, and rightly so, that you don't want to be around somebody that's been exposed to it or anything like that. But what if we had the cure and we didn't tell anybody about it? You see, we have the cure for the greatest problem in the world, And that problem is sin and death and hell. And we have the cure. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to share it with the world. So we need to participate in missions by making disciples, by being a witness, by building up the church ministry, by giving to missions. Secondly, we need to pray for laborers. Turn over your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 and verse number 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need to participate in missions and we need to pray for missions. We need to pray for laborers who are willing to go where others have not gone. Go where people have never heard. Go and take the message to those that don't have the opportunities that we have. The harvest is plenteous. There are sinners everywhere. It takes laborers to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here in America, we have it pretty soft. And most folks think a preacher only works on Sunday and his job's real easy and he doesn't have to work hard like they have to work. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It is labor to do the work of the ministry if we do it right. It can be a 24/7 thing. It can be a continuous thing. And I need to be a laborer for Christ, and you need to be a laborer for Christ as well. We labor to witness, to work, to tell others. The work, the ministries that we have to evangelize, it's labor to do those things. Laborers are willing to go to the foreign fields. To go to a foreign country as a missionary, they need to train themselves. A call to missions is a call to prepare. They need to get educated in the Bible and understanding of what it takes to build a church. People who are green as a gourd go to the mission field, they'll get eat up real quick with discouragement. You got to have some knowledge and some experience when you go to the mission field because it's hard to go to the mission field. It takes labor to go to the mission field. We need missionaries who'll stay when they go. We need missionaries who build churches and train pastors to carry on after they're gone when they go to the mission field. We don't need people to take sightseeing tours and go on glorified vacations. We don't need to be raising thousands of dollars to send our choir over there to sing for some evangelistic crusade. We need to send missionaries that'll build churches and be laborers for Jesus Christ. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for leaders. Those missionaries desperately need leaders in their churches who will step up and take the challenge. But we also have to pray for the leaders of the nations where our missionaries are going, because the government can hinder the work of missions tremendously and has in many countries. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says we're to pray for all men. And we're to pray especially for those that are in authority. Because God would have all men to be saved and to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to pray for the rulers. We need to pray for kings and for those that are in authority of governments. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul wrote, said to Ephesus, he said, great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There's the adversaries of government. Our missionaries, the Van Sants right now are hoping in January they can submit for a visa to get into a Russian-controlled country, the Ukraine. They have a house there. I think they did sell their car, but they still own a house there, and there's several churches there that could use their leadership. But Russia may or may not allow them into that country with a visa. Everything in the Crimea is now covered by Russia. Their military is there to enforce it. They've changed their money. They've changed the visas, the government. All that sort of thing is now under Russian control. Looks like they're sending in tanks and things so that the rest of the Ukraine will be theirs before it's over with, but we don't know that. We pray for leaders. Bob and Judy started three churches in the Ukraine. One is for deaf. And they have about 45 people on Sunday morning in the deaf church. And they have about 80 to 100 in the hearing church. And they helped a national who was a pastor get a church started and going. And he's a close friend of theirs. And he's got an independent work going now. And they trained a deaf deacon who has gone out and started a second deaf church. And of course, they still continuously help him. The deaf church where they are has a pastor. He's a man who came along in that ministry. They have trained him and educated him and helped him, and he's the pastor to the deaf. But he needs help. He can't do everything by himself. He can't speak, and so he needs a hearing pastor who can communicate with him by sign language, who can be a help to him. The problem they've had is getting a pastor over the hearing church that they can trust and depend on, who can be a leader, who can step up and take their place now that they've had to leave. And they're praying for someone to do that. They've got a man filling in, but they don't know if he'll be the permanent solution to the problem there. They've prayed hard for somebody to step up and be a leader in that church. Missionaries need leaders they can count on. So we pray, and we pray with longevity. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7 to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. He said in Luke 18 that we should always pray and not to faint, not to quit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul wrote those staccato commands or imperatives that he listed there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And he said in verse 17, pray without ceasing. When he wrote to those at Philippi, he basically said this, if you'll allow me to paraphrase. He said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And he said, pray with gratitude. Pray with thanks. It's God who allows us to pray. It's God who has the answers. It's God who has the power. And so we pray with longevity. We keep on praying. First, we participate in missions. Secondly, we pray for missions. Thirdly, we pursue the opportunities while they're there. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Spurgeon said to his students, you make your impression while the wax is warm. That means sealing a letter with a seal of wax. To make the impression on it, you have to do it while the wax is still warm. And when hearts are warm, while opportunity is there, while hearts are tender, that's when we need to make the impression the most. And so while we have the opportunity, we need to send our missionaries. You folks who are part of this church who have a husband and wife and you both have jobs and you have two incomes, or you're wealthy people and your home's paid for and you got money in the bank, all that sort of thing. When I say wealthy, I mean not compared to America, I mean compared to the rest of the world. You got something to eat, and you got a place to live, and you got a few dollars in your pocket, you're wealthy compared to the rest of the world. It's important that we give. Our folks that live on Social Security can't give as much as we can give. And we can give sacrificially. We can make a gift to missions. We can give in such a way that a missionary could be supported. The night cometh when no man can work. After World War II, China became communist and closed its doors, kicked the American missionaries that were there out. The man who started missions with the Baptist Bible Fellowship in the 1950s was a prisoner of war in China because he was a missionary there, and they put him in prison for a while with his wife and his children. And it was hard. But he was released. He came back. He did more to motivate people to take the gospel around the world than he could have ever done himself. And many of those churches went underground in China. Ethiopia was completely closed for a period of time to American missionaries. It has reopened, and American missionaries have been able to go back there. Ukraine may be closed in the Crimea to any new missionaries going there. So we need to reach all we can while we can. The Muslim countries around the world are closed to open witnessing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. it's really against the law to proselyte people, even in Israel, to be an open witness with the gospel on the streets and that sort of thing like we can do here. But we need to reach all we can while we can, any way we can. Whether it's radio or the printed page or missionaries that we can send into these countries. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a night of lifespan. It's entirely probable I'm going to die. Probably before the majority of you do, before I will die before you. And the next pastor that comes along, he may or may not have a heart for missions. He may or may not have the Bible-believing stand that I've had these 35 years. You say, why would you say that? Because it's happening all across America. When young men come into the pulpit of churches and tear them all to pieces with the changes that they make. My night may come when I can't work any longer. Health is a night that comes where people can't work any longer. Strokes and heart attacks and all that sort of thing. Bruce just shared with me that fellow I know that was worked at Honda, Gary Thornburg, used to be the manager years ago, still works part-time, just had 5 bypass surgery. 5 bypasses. That means all of the arteries going to his heart were clogged. That's a lot of bypasses. Going to take all the veins out of his legs and his arms that they can give up probably to do that. Pete Morrison's dad had open heart surgery 3 times? 4 times? They did 1 or 2, and then they did 1 or 2, and then they did 1 or 2. They said, you can't do it anymore. You ain't got any veins left. Nothing we can rob. That's the last time. So he had to just really take it easy. He couldn't exert himself at all those last few years of his life. Night comes when ability is stopped. Governments, whatever it may be, that we can't go, that we don't have the funds, that we can't do it. In the United States, 330 million people live here, and only half of them claim to be born again. That means there's a lot of sinners right here that we can be a witness to. It don't cost you anything to go in your own neighborhood and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Around the world, there's 7 billion souls. Listen to me. I don't want you to get lost in these statistics today. 151,000 people die every day in the world. That means 55 million people die every year in the world. Now, there's almost twice that many being born every day to replace them. But if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. It's imperative we reach them while we have the opportunity. Life expectancy in the United States is about 76 to 78 years old. They say if you get through your 60s without heart disease or cancer, it's a good probability you'll live up into your 80s pretty good. I know a lot of us are probably counting on that. Hope they're right. You know what life expectancy is in Afghanistan? 45 years old. Angola, 38. South Africa, got 2 missionaries there. 49 is the life expectancy for people who live in South Africa. There are at least 23 countries in the world that have 90% of their country is Muslim. There are 37 countries where the population, 40% of it, is 14 years of age or younger. There's the problems of Islam, the problems of AIDS, the problems of Ebola, the problems of government. Do you know something? Any country that's had a problem with Ebola, it's going to cut down the tourist trade there a whole lot. It's going to cut down missionaries going there. It's going to cut down a lot of things. 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, 1.1 billion Catholics, 1 billion Hindus, 500 million Chinese folk religion, and 500 million are Buddhists. 273 million in the world are just Orthodox, like Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox. That's the same thing as Catholic, they just don't have a pope. 14 million Jews, 24 million Sikhs. You see, Christianity worldwide is not like it is in the United States of America. It's not everywhere. It's a small percentage. We were in Turkey and Istanbul on the way to the Ukraine. They messed up our flight and we had to spend a night in Istanbul. They put us up in a hotel that had 18 stories. We're in the 14th story or 15th. We're looking out the window over it. We counted 12 mosques that we could see. There's only 1% of the country of Turkey professes to be Christians anymore. And there was a time where the book of Revelation was addressed to the churches of Asia Minor, which is Turkey, of those seven churches. We have to do all we can while we can to reach all we can, and that means we've got to persevere, last of all. We've got to keep going in the right direction. Hebrews tells us we run the race that's set before us. Christ set the course. It's important we follow Him. It's important that we continue. It's important that we don't give up. It's important that we don't quit, that we don't get discouraged. And to run the race, we have to lay some things aside. We keep our eyes on Jesus, it means we've got to keep our priorities in order. We've got to make the main thing the main thing. We've got to remove some things that hinder us in the race. A lot of things that hinder people in the United States of America is debt. Brother Joey is offering another course with the financial peace. I recommend that totally to folks. Dave Ramsey's course on financial peace to learn how to stay out of debt and live within your means and save for emergencies and give your tithe. He teaches all those things. And there's so many people that get strapped because of debt and they don't have any money to give. Their house is killing them, their car is killing them, and they don't have any money left to do what they need to. I'm going to help my son sitting here, so I intend for you to hear this. I told my wife, I said, you can get the kids a little gift for Christmas like we always do. But don't go overboard this year. I'm going to give three of them $250 a piece for a Christmas gift because they need it. They have needs. And I'm glad I can do that. But we give far more than that to missions of this church. We give above our tithe to the church, and then we give, in addition to that, enough to support at least three missionaries. You say, well, you're just bragging about what you give. No, I'm not. I'm telling you it's only by the grace of God. But I'm going to give. I'm not going to preach to you to do something I don't do myself. And I haven't used up everything I've got. Why? Because we've lived within our means. We haven't gotten deep in debt. We haven't spent more than we can afford. By God's grace, you've allowed me to stay employed. Now, the first 15 years we could talk about for a while, but the last 15 years has been very good. You've taken good care of us. And we've got to keep running the race. We've got to persevere. We can't give up. I'm not one of these that pounds a pulpit and demands you got to give more to missions this year than you gave last year. I'm going to leave that between you and God. I just want you to give something. Regular, systematic, so we can budget and count on and know how many missionaries we can support. And help those that we do support when they have needs. Let's stand together. There's a need around the world. We're blessed here to have so many opportunities with the gospel. And your giving helps send it to places where they don't have the opportunity we have here. Thank you for what you do for missions. Father, we ask your blessing on this invitation. If there's someone here in this congregation who is not saved, Lord, we care just as much about them coming to Christ as we do people on the foreign mission field. We pray you'll deal with them by your Spirit and draw them unto Christ. Help them know that you love them and we love them and want them to be saved. And Lord, help us to think on what we can do for missions and do what we can while we can to reach as many as we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.